You are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Tuesday, July 12th, 2022. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the five-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, Joe Biden directs HHS to enforce federal law in providing abortion care for at-risk women at every hospital receiving federal money in the country. It's just about all of them. Good move. Meanwhile, the FDA waives over-the-counter contraceptive pills. And the January 6th hearing today at 1 p.m. Eastern to focus on the right-wing shock troops. Meanwhile, Trump's White House comes, White House counsel supposedly corroborates Hutchinson testimony. Turn the music down just a little bit. Bannon's contempt.
Too much.
Contempt trial to go forward starts on Monday. Trump to testify this week in the New York AG case. Lindsey Graham told by the Georgia court he must testify to a special grand jury. Meanwhile, Trump and Biden's polling in the basements. Federal judge blocks Arizona's personhood law. National Labor Relations Board begins prosecuting Starbucks for 200 labor violations, and that's just in Western New York. As BA5 gains ground, the Biden administration considers a second booster for everybody under the age of 50. And Russia strikes kill 8 civilians overnight as it pounds eastern Ukraine. All this and more on today's Majority Report. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks so much for joining us. It is Tuesday.
Newsday.
Tuesday.
Yes.
As Emma Viglin, who is here, says. Hello, Emma.
Hello, Sam.
Where are we going? We have... There you are.
Okay. So there we
are.
Yeah,
I didn't see you there.
Yes. Bradley did not want to show off my good hair day, I guess. I was just admiring
it's
it.
It's Matt. Matt's riding that train today.
It's Matt's fault.
Yeah, Matt was a little jealous.
It's not as fun to blame Matt as it is to blame Bradley. Not as much fun.
I understand. So it is Tuesday Newsday, and the big news is this move by the Biden administration. And we certainly have been critical of the Biden administration for the past couple of weeks for being very slow on the uptake. But they've obviously heard the enormous pressure that they have been getting. And it's good. We will get to that in a moment. Later this afternoon, the January 6th committee will be continuing on with its hearings. There's a primetime one planned. I don't know if it's planned for later this week or next week. We're not quite sure yet.
I think, according to Politico, they rescheduled it for next week, actually.
So next
Thursday
week.
One.
And so we will see what that one brings. But they sat down last week, and there has been some indications that the former White House counsel to Donald Trump corroborated everything that Hutchinson, who was the essentially right-hand person to Mark Meadows, the
nasty
chief of staff,
girl.
Nasty girl, crazy, corroborated everything she said. And so they're starting to sort of like, I don't know, this is the chapter in the book where some of the through lines, like for the first like five chapters, you're like, wait, what? Who's this dude? Why am I following this? And this is the chapter where it starts to feel like we're getting into where all of a sudden they all show up at the crossroads.
It's like Magnolia.
Yeah, so or Magnolia. I mean, there's it's a It's a broader literary and film.
No, it's technique. Like this one.
It's like okay. The Bob's Burgers movie.
It's yeah. Like, yeah, exactly. Like, you're like, hey, wait a second. What does a sinkhole have to do with? Okay. Well, I don't want to get into that. I mean, the idea that you'd have a sinkhole and you wouldn't have the health inspector show up is just absurd. It's just bizarre.
I heard that they wrote the health inspector out, though, because the actor who plays him is such a pain to work with.
Well, no, the health inspector was in the movie. I'm just saying that right. from a plot standpoint, the idea that you would have a sinkhole in front of a restaurant and you wouldn't have the health inspector show up just seems to me to be
failure in realism.
It's both sort of like a disgusting message. It yeah. really ruined the message of the film. And also just from a dramatic standpoint was just absurd. Like, why wouldn't you want that clock ticking? I don't want to get into it. Like, but a sinkhole in front of the restaurant and the landlord going to prison is somehow going to make it harder for you to pay your rent? No, it's going to make it easier. What you need is some third character to come in and create some type of pressure. Like, you can't operate your restaurant or, you know, something like that. I don't know.
But you don't want to get into it.
No, I don't. All right, so the January 6th committee hearings today, 1 p.m., are going to be covering the shock troop side of things. And I think what is going to be clear is that both Oath Keepers and the Proud Boys anticipated things happening. And both anticipated that there would be a new era after January 6th, and the Oath Keepers were sort of like had sort of rapid response troops on the perimeter of the city. I mean, it is hard to imagine that they just sort of came up with this on their own, and both groups just sort of like had this weird idea of like, well, maybe something will happen someday, and there'll be some type of protest, and there'll be a storming of the Capitol.
Yeah, and they also did recon. Like, they were planning. Plus, it's all – those guys love to cosplay. Like, they're some sort of, you know, troop – they're doing, like, troop movement and intel and like, what do you call – what is this FBI?
Well, I can't think
of the word. But anyway.
Reconnaissance.
But I think in this instance – they may love to cosplay, but I think like they thought they were doing the real thing. And I think we're going to hear from about that side of things. And then I think probably next week in the prime time is my guess. This is just my guess. And it's completely uninformed speculation, or I should say, I don't have any inside information. I don't know what is going on with that. My camera just went berserk. I think what we're going to hear next Thursday is they're going to put together what was happening with the outside groups and what was coming from the administration. I have a feeling that's why they want to do prime time. When you start when that connection happens, then it's off to the races. Here is Jamie Raskin, who is going to be, I think, chairing this version of the committee today. I don't know what's scheduled for the primetime one, but let's hear from Raskin.
White House counsel Pat Cipollone has corroborated almost everything that we had learned from the prior hearings. And he had clearly tried to talk President Trump down from his efforts to override the election. I mean, he had been apparently accepting and supportive of the lawsuits. There were 8 hours of it. I was there for most of it, and I didn't hear him contradict any other witness. I certainly didn't hear him contradict Cassidy Hutchinson, and, you know, I think he had the opportunity to say whatever he wanted to say, so I didn't see any contradiction there.
Sit down.
So there it is. I mean, and Hutchinson's testimony, of course, was challenged by some of the Secret Service people, at least anonymously.
They did not go and testify and say as such, as far as we know.
They said they're open to it.
We will testify, but that's a little bit different than actually testifying.
Yes.
And we can't forget about the fact that Donald Trump was discrediting her at a rally, basically just saying she was bad at her job. I won't give any specifics, but she was really bad.
Like, yes, total wacko.
Which is why she was in every meeting.
You know what's interesting about Trump in terms of like his nicknames, it is always the women are always crazy.
Yes. Yeah.
If you notice how it was crazy Nancy Pelosi, it's crazy Lynn Cheney.
Crazy Rosie O'Donnell. Yeah.
Crazy and wacko Hutchins. I mean, they're
deviated with Crooked Hillary, but she was also crazy.
That's true. That's true. He did have a Crooked Hillary. But it's always crazy.
Yeah. And then with men, it's like insulting their physical appearance. Little Marco.
Well, Little Marco, but there was also like
Lion Ted. But he insulted his wife's physical appearance.
Yes. Yes. But it's just interesting.
More about their weakness.
Always crazy for the women.
Interesting.
Folks, just a reminder, this program is like 98% supported by its members. You can become a member by going to jointhemajorityreport.com. And when you do, you not only get the free show free of commercials, you also get the fun half. We have no ads today, but I did get an email, and I'm going to give them a freebie. I don't care, because I get this email, and I thought it was pretty funny. Hello, Sam. Hello, Emma. Well, I guess I didn't get it. It's for both of us. I listen to, watch your podcast nearly daily. I normally ignore the advertisements on all shows I enjoy. However, I have purchased products from Sunset Lake, Sabade.com. Mostly Doggy Sabade. They are effing awesome. I really appreciate this guy, actually. I don't know if it was a guy or a woman. This person putting F**** ing. They didn't even write it out to me, so I didn't have to see it. On car rides, she usually shakes the whole time due to excitement/anxiety. During our 4th of July or New Year's celebrations, she freaks the F out. Why does he write? Why does this person? They are effing awesome. And then they write, she freaks the fuck out. I don't get it. All right. Anyways, Sunset Lake dog treats have been very valuable. As long as I give her the treats before the excitement, she does pretty well. Love you. Bye-bye. Well, there you go. And right now, Sunset Lake does not have a sale on the doggy treats, but they do have 35% off their tinctures with the coupon code tincture.
Whoa.
So check that out. Get the 6,000 milligram one or the 3,000 milligram. I like the natural flavor. Some people like the citrus. And the mint is actually pretty good, too.
I've been using that one.
The mint is good, too, because if you brush your teeth before or after, it doesn't clash.
Mmm.
Yep.
Good tip.
Yeah, little user tip. All right. So let's get into this. This is we have been pretty unsparing in our critique of the Biden administration's response to this ruling by the Supreme Court. And, you know, and I don't think the bar that we had set was particularly high. It was you had 6 weeks at least to prepare for something, at least perform like even do something performative, but certainly do stuff to heighten the contradiction between the two parties. Now, there is a plan in the House to vote on a series of abortion-related rules. I don't know what is going on with this. And to vote on a series of abortion-related rules or laws in the House just to get Republicans to vote against them. I would like to see some type of resolution that the Senate or the House will not pass a ban. But of course, it's Joe Manchin is staying in front of that stuff is an obstacle to it. But the White House finally came out with something that I think has both the optics of they're doing as much as they can. and or they're doing something, I should say, and real legitimate material benefits. We have said many times on this program that the exemption for a if a woman's life is in danger was more or less useless.
Yeah.
Because you're forcing hospitals and doctors to make an assessment as to where that state of being that a woman's life is in jeopardy starts. Like, does it start where there's a 10% chance, a 5% chance, a 30, a 40, a 50% chance? You could be weeks off from a problem. You could be months off from a problem. I mean, very hard to make that assessment.
And in making that assessment, you're also giving up valuable time that could, you're wrangling with your lawyers. That's really why it's impossible to actually, create that exception.
And it's going to cause a lot of doctors to just tell women to go somewhere else because they don't want to get arrested. They don't want to serve jail time. They don't want to lose their license. They don't want to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars in fines. This is the same with hospitals. And then, of course, you also have states where there is no exception for the life of a woman. My understanding is that in both those instances, a woman can go to a hospital that receives, that provides Medicare or Medicaid services, which is virtually every hospital in the country. Not every, but almost every, gets federal dollars. And if so, they are subject to the Emergency Medical Treatment and Labor Act, EMTALA, which requires that all patients receive an appropriate medical screening, examination, stabilizing treatment, and transfer, if necessary, irrespective of any state laws or mandates that apply to specific procedures. If an emergency medical condition is found to exist, the hospital must provide available stabilizing treatment or appropriate transfer, like I say, to another hospital that has capabilities to provide this. If a physician believes that a pregnant patient, and this is a memorandum summary that Becerra sent, if a physician believes that a pregnant patient presenting at an emergency department is experiencing an emergency medical condition as defined by EMTALA, and that abortion is the stabilizing treatment necessary to resolve that condition. Again, like you don't have to like, it's just an emergency medical condition. That physician must provide that treatment. Must. When a state law prohibits abortion and does not include an exception for the life of the pregnant person or draws the exception more narrowly than EMTLA's emergency medical condition definition, that state law is preempted. Okay, so who determines whether there is an emergency medical condition within the meaning of the EMTLA? Is it a state judge? Is it a state prosecutor or a county prosecutor or a city prosecutor? No, it would be the responsibility, this is a quote, the responsibility of the examining physician or other qualified medical personnel. So in other words, a doctor's or a nurse's determination that a patient is in an emergency medical condition is the final word and arbiter of this. Emergency medical conditions involving pregnant patients may include, but are not limited to, ectopic pregnancy, complication of pregnancy loss, or emergent hypertensive disorders such as preeclampsia with severe features. I don't know what that is, but again, at least the last one. But I reiterate, they're not limited to that. And these determinations are made by doctors. All right, we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to see if we can fix my camera, and we'll be right back after this. We're back, folks. Apologies for that. We will cut out that that piece, at least in the audio podcast. For those of you watching on video,
absolutely.
What are you going to do, man? All right, so to reiterate, And we've gotten some IMs basically saying that it's going to be risk-averse lawyers who are probably going to be engaging in that. There is also an EMTALA whistleblower act. And so there is a lot of force brought to bear on these hospitals. And it, there is going to be a the effectiveness of this order is going to be a function of the Whistleblower Act that is embedded in there.
In what way?
Well, in the sense that if a patient comes in with, let's just say, an ectopic pregnancy, and it's in a state where there is no exception for the life of a mother, just to make this an extreme hypothetical, and the doctor is interested in providing care, or the doctor has been instructed by lawyers at the hospital, we do not do this because we don't want to be embroiled in a state case.
Yeah.
We don't want to be doing that. There's a whistleblower provision within the EMTLA that someone can go and then report on it. And it's really just a question of just how vigorously HHS will fine hospitals found to be
in violation. But the Whistleblower Act could also maybe get – it could be the reverse, right? In order to maybe go after a doctor, shed light on a doctor who had performed one of these procedures.
No.
And then the state could take action. But, I mean,
No. This is a Whistleblower Act within the EMTLA. This is on a federal level. There is no – I mean, a whistleblower going and reporting a doctor – on a state level, it doesn't matter because federal law, trumps.
Agreed. But as a vehicle to eventually maybe chipping away at this exception that the Biden administration is carving out, doesn't mean that, again, this is the case that Biden's making for not doing other pro-abortion executive orders and actions. So I'm not making that case. I just, in theory, really, maybe the whistleblower clause could allow for
it's a federal statute it's not going to operate on a state level,
okay.
But my understanding is that it's up to almost $120,000 per violation of the EMTALA.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And exclusion, I would imagine, either from the hospital or the doctor from Medicaid and Medicare. I mean, so there are you know, major consequences to to not following this law. And it really is a question of, and I think early and quick, HHS has to make an example if they come across any one of these cases. But they are putting the memo out there, which sets the predicate. You are now on notice that we are going to start to enforce this. And so
good way hopefully to counteract the bounty system from a lot of these bills in this state law, too. Right. You got fines on our side now.
Yes. And I think that's the idea. So this is a good first step. And I think there are other things that the Biden administration can do. You mentioned earlier the idea of using federal buildings as, you know, perhaps a place for abortion providers to work out of, but this is very straightforward and does not have any of the sort of like legal complications that that you know may come with the other move that people are hoping for. We should also say LA Times has a story about autoimmune patients losing access to what is considered the gold standard drug for some of those ailments like lupus. This story about a patient, Becky Schwartz, got a message from her rheumatologist. This is a notice to let you know that we're pausing all prescriptions and subsequent refills of methotrexate. The decision is made in response to the reversal of Roe v. Wade. Methotrexate is a cheap, common drug prescribed to millions of Americans who have rheumatic illnesses. Others take it to treat inflammatory bowel disease, psoriasis, or cancer. And the bottom line is it's used for those things as an off-label to end ectopic pregnancies.
Yeah.
And so this could be restricted in those, by those doctors.
And my understanding, too, is that this patient that was profiled by the LA Times lives in Virginia. So, like, that's not even a state that has gone down the road that these other red states have, even though they now do have a Republican governor. But that could be coming down the pike. But also, just the chilling effect that this has from on a national level for half the states in this country to have abortion be illegal, it's not just going to be confined to the borders of those states.
Yep. That's absolutely right. And particularly, I wonder, I mean, I imagine right now there are lawyers saying, like, you know, we're part of this hospital group. So if we do this in Virginia, for instance, and we have hospitals in Texas, like, what's our liability? There's a lot of people trying to figure this out. Meanwhile, the FDA is now weighing, making an over the or having some contraceptive pills sold over the counter. Supposedly, this application was in effect anyways. It was submitted prior to the Roe v. Wade
coincidental
ruling.
Timing.
Yeah, I wonder.
Right.
But it is, according to the Frederick Wellgren, the HRA Pharma's chief strategic and innovations officer, their application is really a sad coincidence. Birth control is not a solution for abortion access. I wonder if there is, like, you know, you're going to see that people try and use that if it gets over the counter as a sort of a morning after type of situation.
Well, right, I know, but that is risky. I don't really know. It depends on the birth control.
Right. But we're not clear what the FDA is going to do, but one hopes that they do okay it and get it out there. Apparently in Europe, that's the case as well. Like I mentioned earlier, Democrats are scheduling votes on abortion access in the House, not so much in the Senate, because Joe Manchin is basically makes everything DOA. And apparently Schumer wants to make sure that they get circuit judges. They're trying to push through as many judges as possible, which, frankly, I think makes probably the most amount of sense that they can, if they know they can't get anywhere. Even to bring any bills to the floor, use this time to get as many judges as possible, because could lose the Senate come fall. However, I would like to see the Democrats, you know, even if they could get Manchin to sign on to like a non-binding resolution about not banning abortion federally, certainly do this in the House so that this is something that people can run on in the fall.
Did you say judges? Because I just wanted to point this out, that HuffPost is reporting, they have a source inside the White House, or a source that was briefed on the White House's plans. We mentioned this last week, or whenever this news broke, that the Biden administration was going to nominate Chad Meredith, in a Federalist Society anti-abortion judge in Kentucky, to a federal lifetime appointment. And they had planned to announce that pick on the day that Roe v. Wade was overturned, just coincidentally. And then they're like, oh, well, our press release is going to get messed up, so let's just sit on it. And a lot of people, like myself, you know, were speculating maybe the blowback from this is going to cause them to retreat, which would be the bare minimum that they could do, because they were planning on nominating this anti-abortion activist in exchange for peanuts from Mitch McConnell when the leaked opinion had already come out.
Yeah.
And now HuffPost is reporting that, nope, it doesn't matter that Roe v. Wade was actually officially overturned, so they have no excuses anymore. Biden is still moving forward with plans to nominate Chad Meredith to a lifetime federal appointment. A lifetime federal appointment! And you wonder why people are feeling discouraged by the Democratic Party right now.
It's unclear to me what the deal is.
I'm looking at a right-wing strategist, Liam Donovan. He says, if it saves time and grief and allows you to push through more noms to the bench while you have the chance, this is probably a good trade, even if it makes the groups mad and creates a messaging headache. Beyond the face value, WTF, most people pushing back based, in, again, this is a conservative, in initial reporting that the trade would be good for U.S. attorneys, USA's U.S. attorneys. This posits a broader judicial package. Former makes sense for McConnell, latter makes sense for Dems. Question is whether the incentives line up.
Well, that's the thing. That's really the question. I accept the premise that there could be a deal that makes it worthwhile. One anti-abortion judge in Kentucky, or one more anti-abortion judge, we should say, probably in Kentucky, may not have the material implications if you are actually getting something from McConnell that makes things easier in terms of passing other judges through. The value for McConnell, of course, is not just because he whatever personal affinity he has for this judge, but also there's political value in it, right? Because it's going to hurt Democrats. It's going to demoralize them.
We have a Democratic Senate. We do not need to be cutting deals with McConnell on nominating judges.
Well,
as a part of a package,
it depends on what it is. If it's Dick Durbin, paying attention to blue slips, he could do that. Unilaterally. If it's Mitch McConnell agreeing to not invoke the limited amount of debate time for each judge. Look, you have a limit, and I don't know what the terms of the deal
are. Well, the fact that the terms are not being said to the press indicates it's nothing. It's procedural garbage. Yes.
Well, but procedural garbage. If you have 50 working days on the Senate calendar, and McConnell has the ability, just like the Democrats did, to chew up 10 of those days. And you know that you can get three judges in per day. It may be worth getting 30 judges to give up this one.
The fact that you
I'm speaking to hypothetically. Yeah. Because we don't know what the points of the deal are, but it is possible that there are deals that would work. I don't know what the deal is, but I just think we need to be clear about that, because they do have the ability, that an unstoppable ability, to slow up the gears. And the Democrats did this as well.
The fact that they have to make this deal is an indictment of their previous urgency. And we shouldn't be in this position where we have to deal with McConnell.
Well, the Obama administration, this goes back to the early days of the Obama administration, where they left a lot of judges' vacancies.
I think you're optimistic about the terms of that deal. I mean, you're saying it's possible.
No. I don't. I'm not making an assessment of what the terms of the deal are, but I do know that there is that there are certainly things that can be done in the context of the Senate that could mean an extra 20 or 30 judges get placed on the bench. And if it's that case, I would do that.
If that is the case, I understand the deal that's being cut. I just don't have optimism that is the case, given the fact that we've had this story out there for 2 weeks. And if the Biden administration really wanted to take heat off of itself, which it's rightly getting heat for, they would have said, okay, we're going to trade this off, and then we're going to have 30 judges that are going to be put forward through with McConnell in this package deal. It's probably somewhere closer to like 10. And the Schumer route of just focusing the rest of the Senate calendar on putting forward those judges is a way better option, because just from a messaging perspective, the Biden administration can afford to do this. I really don't care what the deal is, even if it is what you say, I guess I do, but if it's as, you know, charitable as you say, but I don't think it is.
I think we're going to find out after this judge gets nominated. Somebody, I mean, I agree with you. If it is a good deal, we'll hear about it without a doubt.
And the fact that we haven't heard means I don't think it is. And like, I do think that the Biden administration is playing with fire. I know that Charles Booker is likely not going to win in Kentucky, but you're screwing over a lot of candidates, not just in Kentucky, down ballot on the Democratic ticket with such a muddied message about abortion like this.
Yeah, I mean, I think I think time will tell in terms of like the number of judges. But what is the number? Let's put it this way. What is the number of judges that you think it's worth it?
It depends.
Lifetime
appointments. It depends on the calculation of what's left on the Senate calendar.
No, I'm asking you, Blake, if there was a way to quantify it, what number of judges? 10, 20, 30?
How many could be fit into the rest of the Senate calendar with the time that we have if McConnell was holding every one of them up? More than that.
Well, no. I'm saying what number of judges, extra judges, would it be worth it for this deal to go through?
No, I know what the question is. I'm just trying to say.
But like, what if there was only time for like three more judges? That wouldn't be enough, right?
There were only time?
I don't know.
No.
I think the question is like, there's going to be extra judges that are going to be available to be confirmed because of this. Now, again, well, that's the point. I think undoubtedly, but the question is how many, and if it's Dick Durbin with blue slips, that's ridiculous because he could do that unilaterally. And I've read somewhere that maybe that was part of it or maybe not. I'm just hypothetically speaking, if this meant 10 more judges vacancies filled, because there's a lot of vacancies still, if it was 10 more filled, would that be sufficient? If it was 20 more, would that be sufficient?
Sure, yes. But
They better be consistent pro-abortion, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Presuming that there's no more anti-abortion judges and these are good picks. I mean, there's a lot of things contingent. This is a hypothetical. I'm just asking.
I'm saying it is a, like, whatever is a significant, you know, 10 more than could be done in the time allotted with McConnell still obstructing. Does that answer your question?
Well, this deal is to get him to obstruct less.
Maybe.
Well, I mean, presumably.
If it fails, it's a bad deal.
If McConnell stabs him in the back with it, yes, it's
a bad deal.
Does not allow them to get any more judges, then it's absurd.
We have a ton of evidence to suggest that McConnell is not a trustworthy person to be negotiating with. I think, on principle, you don't do this kind of stuff.
I don't know. I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, I don't have the details of the deal to know. And
I think you could think of like, 50 pro-abortion judges, that's a good deal. But I don't think the Democrats deserve the benefit of the doubt on that stuff.
Right. I mean, broadly speaking, it certainly looks bad for the Democrats. No doubt. And we definitely know what the downside of this is that it muddies the message. Without a doubt, we don't know what the supposed upside is. We don't know why they're doing it. It's not impossible to imagine the Democrats coming out and just shooting themselves in the foot for this because they really like the look of blood coming out of their toes.
It's pretty color.
But I think we just got to just be aware of that potential dynamic. And for me personally, at the end of the day, I would take 10 judges, progressive judges, for that one coming out of Kentucky, frankly. Just because 10 judges is better than one. I want to fill all those vacancies. And if that's what it takes, I would do it. Anything less, or if it was something that could have been done unilaterally by the Senate, then I would say no. But that's for me, that's what I would do.
Yeah, the Durbin pig slip thing is something that just needs to be dealt with.
Blue slip. Right. If it's a blue slip thing by Durbin, I will honestly crap my pants.
I don't know. I think that's more likely than you might think, just because of how we don't have the terms, and it's been 2 weeks.
Listen,
if they wanted to take heat off themselves, they would tell us.
I am not even addressing that. Like the idea that they, I'm just saying that the potential for a good deal exists. Do I have faith in this administration for pursuing it? Not really. But I'm just raising that point. If it was 10 judges, and again,
I get it.
I would take it. But I would not be shocked to find out that it was, you know, whatever, the blue slips, or just that they just, it was something much smaller. I don't know. I don't know.
All right. Sam doesn't know. Deal.
We will find out. We will find
out. We've struck a deal.
Yeah. We'll revisit this in 3 weeks.
Exactly. And I think we will hear about it at one point from somebody. Getting back to the hearings for a moment, new polling out today from Morning Consult. 66% of voters say Trump attempted to overturn the 2020 election. 66% say he claimed the election was fraudulent without evidence. 59% say he misled the public on the outcome of the election. 44% of Republicans say Trump lied about the election results. That's up 7 points since the end of June.
Yeah, that's good.
I think this is actually great.
Does it matter if he runs again in 2024? I think they'll probably forgive a lot. Republican voters.
Oh, no. This is, yeah. Oh, without a doubt. That's the thing, is that I think that, like, really, it's, I'm not terribly interested in the what happens with the Republicans, because, like I said at the top of the show, did I say this at the top of the show?
We said it off air.
Oh, okay.
That's why I was trying to.
Yeah, I went back and I looked at the polling from 2016. And here, Matt, you can pop this up on the screen. Let me send this to you. And Donald Trump was at no higher than 35% until March 20th of 2016, when there was only two more, and there should be a scroll down. You can see that graph. Okay. Oh. That purple line and that black line represent John Kasich and Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz, one of the most hated people who are in our government, I think.
Yeah.
And John Kasich, the other most hated person in the Republican Party. And it wasn't until then that Trump hits, keep going forward until you get to the thing shoots up. Yeah, right there.
There.
That's what?
March 21st.
Yeah, and that's the only time he's above 40%. Here's the thing with Trump is that, like, that 35% of the Republican Party,
it's the best 35%,
that supports him, they're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And there's no one else who can claim to have that strong of a support in the Republican Party. What I like about these numbers that are coming out of the Jan 6 thing is that these are numbers that are going to have implications in the general election.
Yes.
And so, you know.
It means that the Jan 6 hearings are effective, in my opinion. I mean.
I agree. I mean, it's hard to imagine what else they were attempting to do. It'll be interesting to see if they can start to tie it to other members of Congress and implicate the Republican Party, or if they have any interest in doing so, which at this point, it looks like they don't, just based upon, like, the whole MAGA, ultra, uber MAGA, ultra,
MAGA
strategy.
Ultron.
Exactly.
And I'm not sure if Republicans want to admit this in terms of the committee that, like, they, you know, Tim Scott was saying it. Somebody, I think McCarthy was saying it, like, oh, there's no chance for cross-examination. Yeah, not anymore. You guys decided to not do it. Like, you could have brought witnesses. You could have participated and said, oh, this didn't happen. But you made the choice to disallow cross-examination.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, I think they are happy. I think largely the Republican Party is happy with these numbers. I think they're probably more happy than they should, you know, they should be. But it is no coincidence that you're seeing all these moves by DeSantis right now.
Yeah.
Right? You have a 1 month period of time where these hearings have happened, maybe even less. And this is the time that DeSantis is making his move. This is the time you're starting to hear Republicans leak these stories about Trump is in trouble. They waited for the Hutchinson testimony, but you sort of knew that they were going to try and do this. And again, I wouldn't be surprised if there were 4chan posters right now, or people, you know, posting on Twitter with hashtag, you know, Trump, or going into, you know, truth, whatever the truth, social media,
Truth Social
or whatever it is, or doing Rumble videos claiming that DeSantis is behind a lot of what we're seeing with these Jan 6.
They might be onto something too. I don't know.
I would imagine that would create a lot of discord, and not the good kind like we have at right. MajorityDiscord.com.
Majority Discord. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I'm saying like it would be like an Operation Chaos type of thing.
Yeah.
If someone wanted to do that. So you never know. People are funny that way.
That's why they keep propping up DeSantis. I keep saying it. They want Trump without the January 6th baggage, which is why keep it up with the January 6th stuff. Like, I want Democrats to be doing substantive things for people as much as anybody, 100%. And I wish they did, and I wish they were able to deliver and had those feathers in their cap going into the midterms, but they don't. So keep up with the January 6th negative partisanship, because that's useful in and of itself. Yeah. And when you see how CNN, I mean, I see the CNN and MSNBC on at the gym, right? They're always talking about Jan 6. This is like a taste of what Fox News has been doing to the Democratic Party for 20 years, which is like coordinated media attacks and hammering home a certain message until it gets into the public consciousness. And now look at the poll numbers that they're indicating. It's made a huge difference. Fox has been doing this they try with Dr. Seuss, but they were doing it for decades with Benghazi, with, the Hillary server, whatever it needs to be. They've been successful. And this is a taste of what could have been if the Democrats were better at weaponizing the media and negative partisanship.
Right. And it's not, I mean, it's not just like, it's not that hard to weaponize the media. You have to do these things over and over again. They had 55 votes to get rid of the Affordable Care Act. They had 6 different hearings, was it, on Benghazi, or 5? I mean, major, major hearings. And the media follows what the parties do. So
I would agree with Emma about I'd prefer they do Medicare for All and loan forgiveness and stuff like that. But this is actually like standing up for the integrity of elections is actually material.
This is pretty material stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. We do need that. One final IM, and then we'll go into the fun F. Can you explain why there are always many dozens of federal judgeships that can constantly be filled at any time? Are the Dems and Republicans always just court packing, or is that a branch of government perpetually short staffed? Is there a theoretical point where these seats could be filled and they couldn't anymore? Please explain. The Obama administration was very, very slow to do judges. They were dealing with the Affordable Care Act. Look, you have a limited amount of resources in a White House, right? If the chief of staff is running everything, there's only so many hours in a day. And they also want control over these things. They're not going to just, you know, completely farm it out to somebody. Or at least they didn't at that time. And they had the financial crisis. They had the ACA, and they simply did not prioritize judges. It was a huge mistake. But that's what they did. And so it created a lot of vacancies because people retire. And so there was a lot of vacancies for Donald Trump to fill when he came in. During the Biden administration, they have moved faster on lifetime appointments in the federal judgeship than any administration in the past. However, there's a lot of judges out there who are going, I'm 70, I'm 68, I'm 72. Now's the time for me to retire, so that Biden can fill my seat with a good judge. Because I don't want to retire if Trump comes back in 2 years. So they all retired. And so there's again, a lot of vacancies. So, you know, you're never going to come in and fill every single vacancy. It's just not going to happen. But if you've got 50 or 60 vacancies, if you've got a big number of vacancies, you want to fill those. You want to fill them because they are lifetime appointments. And you are creating a bench for a Supreme Court, and you're inhibiting the ability of Republicans to fill those positions. That's it. I don't know off the top of my head, but I just saw that number, and it had gone up from where it was when Biden was in there, despite the fact that he's been filling these seats faster than any other administration. So,
I went to a website. There is a judicial vacancies aggregate on uscourts.gov.
And these are
for district courts, 66 vacancies, court of appeals, 8. There's total 78 vacancies and 21 pending nominees.
And how many have we filled already, I think, during this administration? I don't think it's...
that does not
we
come
can find
up
that.
Here.
But you want to get those district court judges first, and then you want to get the... you want to get the circuit court judges first, and then you want to get the district court judges. All right, we're going to take a quick break and head into the fun half of the program. Matthew from Philadelphia said, regarding the Citizens United debate, Destiny went off yesterday about you not knowing the terms of several marriage contracts between the House of Stark and House Frey struck by King in the North, Robb Stark. So there you go. We're going to take a quick break and head into the fun half. Remember, you can be a part of this program by IMing at via the app at majorityapp.com. You can call the program, 646-257-3920 is the number. Don't forget, justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code MAJORITY, get 10% off. Matt, what's happening in the Matt Leckie and Media universe?
Yeah, patreon.com/leftreckoning to get our Sunday show with Milton Alamadi on the New York Times and other media's role in apartheid and colonization in Africa. And for this Wednesday, Marcus of Left Flank Vets is going to be joining David and I talk about being a vet in the military and also in media.
Oh, and you know, maybe I'll talk about that tomorrow. All right, we'll see you in the fun half. 3 months from now, 6 months from now, 9 months from now, and I don't think it's going to be the same as it looks like in 6 months from now, and I don't know if it's necessarily going to be better 6 months from now than it is 3 months from now, but I think around 18 months out, we're going to look back and go like, wow.
What? What is that going on?
It's nuts.
Wait a second. Hold on for a second. Emma, welcome to the program.
Hey.
Matt.
Who?
Fun.
What is up, everyone?
Fun.
Nomi Key.
You did it.
Fun.
Let's go, Brandon.
Fun.
Bradley, you want to say hello?
Sorry to disappoint everyone. I'm just a random guy.
It's all the boys today.
Fundamentally false.
No, I'm sorry. Women.
Stop talking for a second. Now let me finish.
Where is this coming from, dude?
But dude, you want to smoke this 7A?
Yes.
Yes.
Is it me?
It is you.
Is this me? Hello, is this me?
I think it is you. Who is you? No sound. Every single freaking day. What's on your mind?
Sports. We can discuss free markets and we can discuss capitalism.
I'm going to go start
life. Libertarians.
They're so stupid, though.
Common sense says, of course.
Gobbledygook.
We fucking nailed him!
So, what's 79 plus 21?
Challenge met.
I'm positively quivering.
I believe 96, I want to say.
857-210-35-501. One half. 3/8.
9/11, for instance.
$3,400. $1,900.
$6,543 trillion.
Sold.
It's a zero-sum game.
Actually, you're making me think less.
But let me say this.
Poop.
You call it satire. Sam goes, satire.
On top of it all,
yeah.
My favorite part about you is just like every day, all day, like everything you do.
Without a doubt.
Hey, buddy, we see you. All right, folks.
It's just the week being weeded out, obviously.
Yeah, Sundial Guns out.
I don't know.
But you should know.
People just don't like to entertain ideas anymore.
I have a question. Who cares?
Our chat is enabled, folks.
I love it.
I do love that.
Look, gotta jump. Gotta be quick. I gotta jump.
I'm losing it, bro.
2 o'clock, we're already late, and the guy's being a dick. So screw him. Sent to a gulag?
Outrageous.
Like, what is wrong with you?
Love you, bye.
Love you. Bye-bye.